Everybody here this morning, sun shining.
And Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. Weather.
And we need to remember
Jesus
every day.
Don't put your Bermuda shorts and your flip-flops on.
But we
take it as a corporate, as a body.
You know, a lot of people will. You're going to see a lot of these kids out here with shorts on and t-shirts.
Bread represents his body.
And then tomorrow, next day, they'll be snotting and coughing.
My body was broken. So don't you do that.
For you.
Yeah, let's use some
wisdom. His body was broken. He sacrificed himself.
Is that Dennis?
For you.
Lord have mercy.
I take it
very personal. A miracle.
Because, you know, it's about a personal relationship with Jesus.
This first time,
I was talking to a young man here the other day. And he says, you know, religion.
But anyway, it's so good to see everybody here this morning.
And the weather's breaking.
I'm not religious.
God is so good.
Like, what?
He's so good.
I don't know about you,
but boy, that worship
and that hymns
was just...
He didn't understand
this morning. You know, I know a lot of y'all
don't
like
him. We have a relationship with
Jesus. I got a little spot where I look out at you guys.
Not ceremonies, not traditions.
And y'all can't see me.
And some of the expressions on some of y'all's faces.
And so he said,
when we were singing the hymns.
I did this,
but you know,
because
listen to the
words. I love you.
And listen to the words of these hymns because
they are so powerful.
His body was broken,
but,
and he was beaten beyond recognition.
It's good to see you,
my
brother.
Didn't look like he was a human being.
Yeah, absolutely.
The body, the Bible says.
But anyway... So as we partake
of
the body of Christ as it was broken, remember,
and you know why?
Not because
thanks.
Of me, not because of the music,
for what he has done for you,
because of the
presence
of God.
Remember all the things
you know, and,
that he has done.
I just feel his presence.
And you know what?
He's not done
yet.
All morning, to
what
be
he's done, what he's doing,
and Carmen,
and
it's
what
so
he's
good
yet
to see you.
To do.
Again.
Let's always
praise
give
the
thanks
Lord.
For that. So let us
this is your second week, right?
One more, you get a cookie.
Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent your only begotten.
But anyway,
for his body to be broken,
we're going to,
for our sins,
hear the word of the Lord this morning.
He says this cup represents
the new
covenant.
Not the word of pastor,
the new covenant
but the word
of grace.
Of the Lord.
There had to be
so
blood
let us
that
pray.
Was shed. There had to be a life.
Father, we
that
come before
taken.
You this morning giving you honor, glory, and praise.
Not
we want to say thank you, Lord, for
sin.
Being God and God alone. You are worthy,
but
Lord.
But to wash him away.
We ask, oh, Father God,
him,
that you would
clean
just
him for good.
Hear our prayers this morning.
To throw him in the sea.
Lord, we pray
that
if it's anything that's blocking and hindering.
What a wonderful
for you to
thing
hear our prayers,
had.
Lord, that you would just take it out of us
about
by
you,
any
but
means
I need
necessary.
That. I need that.
Lord, we pray for the nation
so
of,
as we partake of
the
new
Ukraine.
Covenant of the blood.
We ask, oh, Father God, that you put a hand of protection over that nation. We pray, Father, for
Father,
the family and loved ones
for the blood.
Who are grieving over the death of their family and loved ones.
Once again,
not only in the Ukraine,
the
but Lord, we pray, Father God, for the Russian family members and that
and
the
Jesus
Russian soldiers have been killed also.
Done for us.
Lord, we
in
just
Jesus
ask, Father
name,
God,
amen.
That you were in
you
this conflict, and
you're
able.
Sides over there, we will come
you're
and,
well
and grab them.
So, Lord, we
service.
Ask, Father God, that you would take control of this. We pray, Father, for our children, the unborn. Lord, we cry out to you that you will touch the hearts
right.
of these mothers who have
if
made
you turn your Bibles
to kill these babies. That you will move upon their hearts and they will change their minds. Oh, Father God, and keep these gifts from
children.
God. Because every child is a gift from God.
Lord, have mercy.
So, Lord, we pray for the unborn
children.
Today. We pray, Father God,
go
for our soldiers today also. Those who are here and those who are being deployed. We thank you for our soldiers. We honor our soldiers. And we ask, Father God, a hedge of protection to be around all of them and their families also that are left behind. We pray, Father, for those who are hungry today and those who are
Ezekiel
hungry
36
and homeless.
Chapter 36.
That you provide for
them.
We pray for the helpless
verse
also.
Verse 25.
Oh, Father God, and the hurting.
And my prayer is.
We ask, Father, that you would be with them today also, Lord Jesus.
Not only will
we
you
just
hear
ask that
this
you will
word.
Give us ears to hear.
But that you will.
What you have to say
today. Understand
get me
this
out of
word.
The way, Lord.
That it be no distractions.
And not only will you understand the word, but that you will glean the word.
That it be nothing, Father God, to keep us
gleaning
from hearing
that
your
you
word,
will
but not only be hearing your word,
up.
But be doers of your word.
And not only will you glean
let us not
it, but
walk
you
out
will
the way we walked
retain
in.
It. Put it in
just
you.
Have your way here today, Lord.
And not only will
in
you
Jesus
retain
name,
it,
amen.
But you will apply it
you know, almost
to your
forgot
life
about
every
communion.
Day.
We got this big old table.
What good is it to read something, to say something,
so I'm ready to preach
and
this
we can't
morning.
Apply it to our life.
I'm
but in order to apply
it,
you have to understand it, right? You don't understand. You can't apply
please.
Nothing. So my
Jesse,
prayer tonight day is that you have an understanding.
You know, what a blessing
that
this
everybody
is
in here
to
hear
have
shout
our
of
young
my voice
people serving.
And those who are watching by the media.
Have you stand over here.
That you will
stand
hear
right over there.
A word from the Lord
okay.
that will transform your life.
Stand right there. Also, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to have them hold both places.
Not matter of fact, I'm going to have somebody else.
Jay, if you would
come. Transformation.
Joey.
So my prayer is that
you would please.
When you
stand
next
to him, not in front of him, next to him, stand over there.
Your life will be transformed.
Okay.
By the renewing of your mind.
Praise the Lord.
Ezekiel 36, and I'm going to start in verse 25, I said. I'm going to start in verse 24.
There's nothing
and it says, for I will take you from among the heathen.
Do you know that? There's nothing better
I don't know
than
about you, but
and I tell you,
I'm so glad that he's taking
men
from
of
among
God
the heathens.
They're our next generation.
You know, I was a heathen
and
at
so
one time.
We need to start training them up.
And guess what? So were you.
To serve the Lord.
You know,
without a young
without
age
Christ
like
in our
here.
Life, without us being
yes,
born
absolutely.
Again,
we were heathens.
And it says,
so, I will take you from
ask,
the,
among
I'm
the heathens and gather
you
here
out of
if you would
all countries
and come around
and bring
go around
you into your own land.
And when you get your
bring
communion,
you to your own,
please
not
wait
somebody
and hold
else's
it.
Land. Because wait till
but
everybody
I'm bring
has
you to
it.
Your own land.
So we can all partake of the Lord's
I
Supper
have
together.
For you.
Amen.
A place.
So this section here, if you come, please.
That is not somebody else's, but it's going to be yours. And it says, verse 25. Then, after I do that, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness, and from all your idols, will I cleanse you. Verse 26. And hear the word of the Lord. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgment and do them. He says, I will bring you into your own land. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will cleanse you and make you a whole new person. I will give you a lifestyle that you have never had before. As I look around you today, on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights, you know, I see the people coming. You know, in the past, you wouldn't think about coming here on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. You know, a lot of y'all were members of Bedside Baptist for many, many years. When I say Bedside Baptist, I mean you would be in the bed. Instead of being here. But you're here now. And why are you here? Because the Lord has put into your heart to do a new thing. I'm so thankful for the new thing. I'm sick of the old thing. You know, some of your friends say, oh, come on and hang out for old time's sake. Let's have a drink for old time's sake. Let's go do this for old time's sake. I don't want to do nothing for the old time's sake. Because my old time was not a good time. And I didn't know that until the Lord moved in my heart. And I was able to see clearly that the things that the life that I was living was not a right life according to God. So he said, I'm going to do all of this stuff to you. He said, I'm going to take away your stony heart and give you the flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in and to cause you. You know, so many times we try. I'm trying. My Bible tells me, he says, I will cause you. You ain't got to try. You ain't have to try, because when you try, when you fail, how does that make you feel? Defeated. You feel defeated. You feel like, you know, I can't do it. I can't accomplish this here. How many times we all tried to do this and tried to do that and tried, and we continue to do it on and on and on and on and on. And you felt condemned. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What I'm trying to tell you here this morning is, God says, I will put within your heart to do the right thing, which we call today the Holy Spirit. I will put a new spirit in you and a new heart within you. That you, because you cannot live up to my righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. Did you know that? I don't care how righteous you might think that you are. or how good you think that you might be. Your righteousness is like filthy rags. But when God gets a hold of us and he directs our steps and he puts within us to keep his word, to do what's right, to be in right standing with him, that's when he's pleased, you see. So many times, you know, I come out of different churches. You can't do this. You can't do this. You shouldn't do that. Or you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do that. And yes, we're to live righteous lives and all that type of stuff. But when you have a law that you can't do this, you can't, you know, with me, I'm just going to be honest with you. Probably nobody in here like that. But when somebody tell me don't do it, guess what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it on purpose. Because you told me I can't do it or don't do it. So, why are you looking at your wife, Jay? Sound like you? All right, praise the Lord. All right. Sound like a whole bunch of us in here. You ain't by yourself. Trust me, you ain't by yourself. You know, we all got that in us, you know, at some point or another. But anyway, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Now, let's not forget what we talked about. It says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. That's a character and life change by the power of the Holy Ghost. A character and life change. Do you know what character means? Character means that when nobody else is watching, when nobody else knows about what you're doing, you do the right thing. You hear what I'm saying? Not when you're in church on Sundays, not when you're around the church people, but wherever you might be, you'll do the right thing. Because God will put that character in you. 1 Corinthians, what did I say? 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God, not pastor, not the church, which God has prepared for them that come to church every Sunday. Is that what it say? That read your Bible every day. Is that what it say? That you pray your tithes. Is that what it say? It says, let me read it again. But it is written, your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, neither enter into your heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That love him. And he says, if you love me, you'll do what? You'll keep my statutes, you'll keep my commandments. As he said in Ezekiel, he says, I will put a new heart in you and a new spirit within you. I will cause you to obey me. That's why I say all the time, always see where you are in your faith. Examine yourself to see if your life is living a life of righteousness and holiness. Now, let me say something to you. None of us are going to have a life that we're just perfectly obedient. A life that's perfectly walking in line with the word of God. Not long as you're here on earth. But there is a place for us to be in through the Holy Spirit that we do walk in righteousness. And we're going to slip. We're going to fall. But when we do that, we call upon him. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins to him, not the pastor, not nobody in no box. Because nobody in the box can forgive your sins. I can't forgive your sins. There's only one. And his name is God. And we go to Jesus and he says, if you confess your sins before me, he says, I am faithful and just to forgive you. And this is a good point. And to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So, and then we get back in that right standing, you see. Before that we have gotten a clean heart and a new spirit and all that type of stuff, we would sin, we would cuss people out, we would lie, we would steal, we would cheat, we would do all kind of stuff and wouldn't bother us not one bit. Not one bit. But now that that new spirit that's within us, that new heart that's within us, even though we might do some of those things from time to time, it's going to bother us. It's called conviction of the Holy Spirit when you don't do the right thing. And let me say something to you. If you're out here and you're living a life that you know that's not right and it don't bother you, I don't believe that you might be saved. Because my Bible tells me that if you're saved and the Holy Spirit within you, He will convict you of wrongdoing. So now, let's go to Isaiah 30. Now remember what that said. Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, or hasn't entered into your heart the things God has prepared for you. Prepared for you. He has something. And by the grace of God today, that as you hear the word of God today, that you receive that what God has prepared for you. I don't know about you, but I want everything God has prepared for me. Everything. I don't want to miss anything that God has prepared. Because everything that God has prepared for you is good. Even though you might not think it's good. But everything God has prepared for you, He's doing it for your best. A lot of times we don't feel that way, do we? When we're going through different things, you know, trials and tribulations and different things like that. But God says, I have something prepared for you. And I'm back here, He says, I'm preparing you for what I have prepared for you. Does that make sense to you? I'm preparing you for what I have prepared for you. Like these two little young men here. We're preparing them to serve God as they get older. Because God has something prepared for them. What did I say? Isaiah 30 and 21. And thy ear shall hear a word behind thee. Your ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left hand. And it says, you shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and ornament and thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a nasty rag. And that's what God says our righteousness is like, that nasty rag. And for those of you who don't know what that nasty rag is, look it up. I was going to say go talk to a woman, but don't do that. Don't do that. Just look it up. Got out of that one, didn't I? Maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. Lord, I done lost my place now. Where am I at? But anyway, your ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now, let me tell you something. Come here for a minute. Yep. You came in late. Now, all right, now I'm behind him. Now, the Bible says what? There'll be a voice behind you. He says, if you hear the voice behind you, you are to do what the voice tells you to do, right? Okay, so I'm the voice behind you. So hold up your left hand.
I know who you are. Who are you representing?
You know what? We did not rehearse this. But you know what? That is so true. Because there's people that will tell you to do all kind of things. But who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Now, you know, when I told him to hold up his left hand, he says, well, who are you to tell me to do that? And the voice that we're talking about here is the voice of God. Not the voice of the pastor. Not the voice of those, thus says the Lord. But the word of the voice of the Lord. How do we hear the voice of the Lord to tell us to do the things, to raise your left hand up? In order to hear the voice of the Lord, you have to know the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
You have to know the voice, not the voice of the pastor. You know, because the pastor say, oh, this is God. Oh, in the name, hold up your left hand. It could sound like that might could be God, right? But no. God speaks in that still small voice through the Holy Spirit. You know, thank you for that, my brother. You know, I wasn't expecting that, but how good is that? How good is that that he stopped and said, what makes you think I'm going to obey your voice, Pastor? We are to obey the voice of God. Now, let me say something. God does speak through people. A lot of times, you know, God will speak to the wife to talk to the husband. Wives, can I get an amen? Amen. Sometimes God speaks to the husband to the wives. Can the husband say, amen? Well, y'all didn't say that too loud. Y'all little fearful, huh? All right. But what I'm saying is, when God will use somebody, he will always be a confirmation. It'll be a confirmation of what he has said to you. Amen? Always be a confirmation. Be careful. People coming to you and telling you, God told me to tell you this. God told me to tell you to do this. God told me to tell you to give me $100. Everyone in here, God told me to tell you to give me $100. Ushers, come get the plate. But you know what? That's happening around the country as we speak. God told me to tell you. There was one man in ministry here years ago. God told him to tell. Well, no, God didn't tell him. He was telling the congregation, God told me to tell you that I need a new jet. Yes. Yes. And don't you know he got that new jet? Certainly did. I don't need a jet. Maybe a helicopter. Anyway. So what I'm getting into, we're hearing that God is saying, first of all, before all of this, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit within you. And then and only then will you be able to hear my voice tell you to go this way and go that way, to give you directions. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. And he'll direct your path. But we have to do what he is asking us to do in order to get the benefits from God. Now, let's turn to Joshua 3. And this is what God had given me. He just, I was reading the Bible here the other day. You know, this scripture just jumped out at me. Just jumped out at me. And you know, throughout the nights and the day or whatever, it just wouldn't leave me. It just wouldn't leave me. I said, okay, Lord, is this the word that you want me to have today? Because I don't want to give him something that I have manufactured. But I want to give you a rhema word, a word that you have given the people. Joshua 3. Are you there yet? Say amen. And we all know the story of Joshua. Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. Moses died, and God says, Joshua, I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses. And so as they came out of Egypt with Moses, and they went through the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness, and now they're at the place where God says, I have prepared a place for you. I have prepared. The place that I prepared for you was not Egypt. It was not the wilderness. But I have a promised land for you. I have something for you that ear has not heard, eye has not seen, has not moved upon your heart, what I have prepared for you. And so this is where we are here. The place that God had prepared for them, for those who had been right. Because when you came out of the wilderness, you know what happened. They were murmuring. They were complaining. They were. And so God says, well, until you come to a place where you reverence me, that you love me, that you respect me, I'm going to have you just keep wandering and wandering and wandering around. From Egypt to the promised land was maybe 3-4 days. 40 years. 40 years of them wandering and wandering and wandering around in the wilderness, murmuring and complaining. And God said, I'm not going to bring you into the place that I have prepared for you because you're not prepared yet. You're not prepared yet. So guess what? Just keep on wondering. How many of us are wondering around and around and around again? Why can't I get no victory? Why can't I get a blessed like Don Foote, who's going to pay everybody's way to the men's advance? Yes. Why can't I be like Dennis, to play golf with Tiger Woods? Yes. Oh, my goodness. Is that Becky? Praise the Lord. It's so good to see you. Scoot over. Don't sit too close to Dennis. No, I'm just kidding. Mary, scoot over. You already know. How many of us have wondered and not received the things that God has prepared for us? Because God has so much prepared for you. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I have for you. I know the thoughts that I have for you. Joey. Terrence. Brian. Marzano. Where's your daddy at? He thought we were getting baptized today, didn't he? Oh, that's right. We're doing a baptism. The end of the month. Now, before y'all start shaking your head and stuff, we're not going to the river. We're going to have a baptism right here in the baptismal tank. So for those of you who don't want to go to the river and want to get baptized at the end of the month, we're going to be having a baptismal service, okay? All right, so let me move on from there. So Joshua, and it says, Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. Now, these were the children of Israel that was 20 and under. It wasn't for those who were murmuring and complaining. They never made it there. They never made it to the place that was prepared for them. But because of their disobedience, hear me, church, because of their disobedience, because they're murmuring and complaining and not trusting God, God says, all right, you will not enter what I have prepared for you. They had no idea what God had prepared for them. But he says, if you keep my commandment and you follow me and you trust me, I got a place for you that your eyes not seen, your ears not heard, it has not moved upon your heart. And he says, I will go behind you and direct you. In the wilderness, he was directing them by what? A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. So he was directing them. But because of their disobedience, it was round and round and round you go. Until 40 years, he says, now I've gotten rid of all those who have not been loyal, those who have not been committed, those who have not been truly trusting in me. I've gotten rid of them, and I'm going to give it to the ones who have been committed,
those who have been loyal, those who have been reverencing me, those who have been obedient to me. And so Joshua rose up early in the morning, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. So 3 days. Now it was maybe 2 to 3 million people. And so what he had to do was 3 days, Joshua says, I want all the officers to go throughout the camp, and I have a commandment for them, because we're getting ready to get what God has for us. We've been wandering. We've been going through different things. God has brought us out of bondage. He's brought us through the 40 years of wilderness. And now God got something good for us. So I want you to go tell all the people what I'm about to command them. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, when you see it, the Ark of the Covenant back then represented the presence of God. It represented the presence of God. Now, before, he was leading them by the pillar by night, fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day. But he says, I'm going to do a new thing now. Something that you have never heard or seen or moved upon your heart. He said, now, I want you to see the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. I want you to see it. And this is what it says. And it says that, and the priests, Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. That voice behind them. When you see the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, of my presence, when you see that, not hear about it, not read about it, but when you see it with your own eyes, because once again, your eyes not seen, your ears not heard. He said, now I'm going to give you some vision. I'm going to give you some revelation. I'm going to take that veil off your eyes. Now, when you see the presence of God moving, when the Levites are carrying it, he says, and then verse 4. And it says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it. Well, wait a minute. You know what? Why not? We can't come to the presence of God. Why can't we get close to the presence of God? Because God says, I want you to do what I tell you to do. He says, I want you to have a distance between me and my presence, because you know why? If they came up and all of them gathered around the presence of God in that, people back around there wouldn't be able to see it. He said, I want all of y'all to see it. As well as he want each and every one of us here today to see the presence of God. And so he says, what I want you to do is, I want you to have a space between you and my presence, so everybody can see it. I don't want to leave nobody behind. I don't want nobody not to be able to see the presence of God. So therefore, if you stand back, everybody will be able to see it. And the priests lead it. There's a sermon in that you can see the priests leading with the presence of God. Those who God has commissioned to be leaders of the church. Those who God has commanded, feed my sheep. Not hear about it. Not read about them, but see them in the presence of God and walking in truth and righteousness. I'm going to leave that alone because I could preach that. But anyway, it says that I want you to stand back. And it says, for you have not passed this way before. And that's what God gave me. All God gave me here was that. For you have not passed this way heretofore. You have never gone this way before. Yes, you came out of Egypt. You came through the Red Sea. You came through the wilderness. But this place I got for you here, you have never, ever gone this way before.
And I believe the Lord wants us today to know that there's a place, sister, that you've never seen before that God is going to be leading you. This sister, where's she at? Where's she at? Back here. You came Wednesday night, and that's the first time you came Wednesday night, didn't you? Yeah? Right? Remember? Because we welcome you. We welcome you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah. And you know what I said? I got upstairs, and I said to myself, we ain't going to never see her again. Because she was sitting up there, and as I was teaching, she was like, I said, boy, we ain't going to never see. And when I walked in, I saw you, girl. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because God has a purpose and a plan for you. You came here Wednesday night for the first time, but you're here again today. Olivia's daddy. What's your name? I'm keep calling you Olivia's daddy. What's your daddy's name? What is it? Roscoe. Russell. Brother. You know, when she started coming here, she started coming here a while ago, and she would come by herself, you know, and now all of a sudden, Russell. And not only did he come, stand up, Russell. Turn around so everybody can see you. He come with a tie on today. Huh? He come with a tie on today. Oh, praise. When was the last time you wore a tie? That's all right. Don't worry. Praise the Lord. When I saw you today, man, and you were standing and you were singing those old hymns and you had your head up and I saw the tie on you, I said, praise the Lord. He's walking in a way that he's never walked before. You, young lady. Mm-hmm. You're walking in a way that you never walked before. And let me tell you something. You're just starting that walk. You're just starting the walk that God has for you. He has great plans for you, young lady. Great plans for you. As I can look around the room. And this young man here. You have no idea the path that God has for you. But you've been coming with your mama. Is she making you come? She is. I'm going to leave that alone. Gave it to the Lord. And say, boy, you better get to church. All right. Amen. Amen. Well, anyway, he's coming. He's here. But what I'm saying is that the Lord has prepared a way for us. And we're walking in that way. We need to walk in that way. Joey, Lord have mercy. I used to see Joey bopping down. He'd have his earphones on. He'd just. And I know he wasn't listening to the old rugged cross. I know he wasn't listening to that. But look at Joey. Every time the church doors open up, Joey's here with his mother. Oh. How good is God? How good is God? And I can go on. I can look all up and down and just all over and see what God is doing. I don't know you two young men. You've been here before, right? Is your first time? Your first time too? So I see y'all met Scotty. Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. But anyway. What I'm saying is, God has a plan and a purpose and a direction for each and every one of us. But let's get back to this. And Joshua said, yet there shall be a space between you and it 2,000 cubits. By measure, come not near it, that you may know the way which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. That you may have a distance. And that God in his presence will lead you. You see. Because, you know, if God didn't say, I want you to have that, everybody would have bum rushed him. Some of y'all don't know what bum rushing is. That's when you run up on somebody all the time. But see, you know, with this, you know, they would have came and they would have probably gone before him. They had probably gone before to try to get to that place that God had for them. But sometimes we got to wait up on the Lord. Sometimes we got to wait upon the Lord. And God says, I want all of y'all to have a distance behind so everybody can see me, so you can see and follow me as I go forward. That you can see me, my presence, and follow me and go where I go. Not where the pastor goes. Not where the church goes. Not what your husband or your wife say go. But you go where I say go. Because I have someplace prepared for you that you have never gone before. And so anyway, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. You know what that is? It's to get rid of all filthiness, all anything that's opposing to God. I want you to sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart because God has a work for you. Take everything out of you and off of you that is not of God. Sanctify yourself. Quit watching those X-rated movies. Quit looking at pornography. Quit going and doing things that you shouldn't be doing and using words that you shouldn't be doing. Sanctify yourself because I'm going to take you into a place that you can't even imagine. And he says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do a wonder among you. Only when we keep our eyes on Jesus. Only when we shed off things that we should not be doing or seeing or hearing or saying. When we sanctify ourselves. And he says, let me tell you something. He said, tomorrow you'll see wonders. Tomorrow you'll see wonders if you keep yourself doing what I tell you to do. And only what I tell you to do. You know, I told y'all before, you got a lot of false teachers out here. A lot of false preachers out here. The Bible says that in the last days you'll have them. And we got a lot of them. They're very charismatic. They minister to your flesh. They make you feel good. Huh? Make you feel good. Make you jump up and down, hop, shout. But let me tell you something. God says, if you keep your eyes on me, I'm not going to entertain you. I'm not going to minister to your flesh. But it's your spirit that I'm looking at and your heart. I'm looking at your spirit and your heart. That's what I'm going to minister to. I don't have to go through all that entertainment and doing all that kind of stuff here. I was talking to somebody here. They showed somebody a video and the person said, well, where that club at? And it was a church. It was a church. They were having church. But when he saw the video and didn't have the audio on there, the person says, where that club at? We're not a club here. And we never are going to be a club. My house is a house of prayer, the Lord said. And that's what we're going to do here. We're not going to entertain you. We're not going to minister to your flesh to try to get you all hyped up or anything else. We're going to bring you the word of God and the word of God in spirit and in truth. And let me tell you something. If it offends you, so be it. So be it. I'm not trying to offend anybody intentionally. But if the word of God offends you, that's God trying to tell you something. Trying to tell you, you know, let me tell you something. Get yourself right. And anyway, let me finish this up. And Joshua spoke unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Joshua said, you preachers, you pastors, you ministers, I want you to go before the people. I want you to show the people the way that God is showing you. Remember, they had the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. And as they were walking, you know, Joshua said, listen, I want you to go before the people And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, and the Lord said unto Joshua, not pastor, not the TV preachers, but the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel, and they may know that as I was with Moses, so would I be with you. All the things that I have put within Moses and done with Moses, people are going to see that I am with you as I was with Moses. And we know Moses was a righteous man, and he messed up. He was a murderer. Do you know that? Moses was a murderer. And God says, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Like I said, we all make mistakes. We all do things that's wrong. But the key to it is when we confess it and repent of it and start walking back in the righteousness of God. We've all done stuff in our life that we shouldn't have been doing. Well, maybe not y'all, but I have. But I'm going to tell you something. God has... He has, he is, and he will. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of Israel, and they may know that. And I was, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And thou shalt command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. This was a time of flooding. There are two floods, flooding seasons. At the Jordan. There are two floods, a time of flood. And let me tell you something. When the floods came, the floods would come down. They would come from the Sea of Galilee, and they'd come through the Jordan, and they'd go into the Red Sea. And this was no joke. As the waters were rushing, they couldn't wade through it. They couldn't even swim through it because of the strength of the water rushing. And he says, I want you to go and stand in this. Can you imagine the priests looking at each other? Like, what? Joshua, I don't feel too good. Can you get somebody else? Take my place. But they didn't. And you know why they didn't? Because God said up here. And Joshua, and God says, I will magnify you among the people that they will know that I'm with you just like I was with Moses. So the priest knew that this was a man of God, a man of integrity, a man of truth, a man of righteousness. So let's see what they did. And it says, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Havites, Perizzites, the Jerusites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and all that ain't right. All that ain't right, I'm going to drive out from among you. All of these people got walled cities, they got armies, they're strong. He said, let me tell you something. I got you. I got you. I'm going to drive all of them out. Because you know why? Because your ear is not heard, your eyes not seen, your mind is not even, it not moved on your heart, the things that I have for you. I have given you a promise. I've made a covenant that I will give you a land of your own. Remember we talked about that? Because before all of this, they lived in Egypt, so they were in bondage. Then they were in the wilderness. They lived in tents. They really never had a stable home of their own. He says, I will give you a place of your own. And he says, now hear the words. He says, I will cause all of them, I'm going to drive them out. And it says, before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. He says, now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel and every man. And he told them to make a memorial. But what I want to say to you today is that God is getting ready to do something that we've never seen before. I believe that with all my heart, that God is going to do something with his church, not my church, not the Baptist church, not the Pentecost church, not the Methodist church, not the Lutheran church, not the Catholic church, but God's church. He's going to do something that we've never walked in before. I believe that. I don't know about you. But as I look out and I see how God is touching and changing hearts and putting right spirits in people, and people are changing. Now, let me say this here. Everybody don't change the same way, the same time. But as I look out and I see, I look back at Gary and Clara when I first met them on the trail, what, 6, 7 years ago, 8? Ever. Yeah. And I would walk by them and, you know, hello, how you doing? Hello, how you doing? Gary would grunt. No, he would speak sometime. Anyway. And as the Lord directed me one day to stop and ask, may I pray for his wife? And the rest is history. The rest is history. They've been here ever since. You see, they never thought, he never thought in his wildest dreams as he's walking out there on the Black River Trail that he'd be in a, he was walking on the Black River Trail and now he's in the church with a tall person. Some of y'all didn't get that. And he loves me. He tells me all the time, Pastor, I love you. And I love him. I love him. As I look at Brother Morris here, we go way back. We go back 20-something years. Lord, I tell you, I love me some Morris. I love you. Now, the one sitting behind you, I love Don Foote too. Sometime. But what I'm saying here today is, if you've been going around in the wilderness, if you've been going through things that you're getting sick and tired of being sick and tired of, and you've been going round and round and round and round, I believe the Lord today say, today is your day that you will go where you have never gone before. You will, your lifestyle will be different than it ever has been. You think you're doing okay now, but this is just the beginning. You have not seen or not heard or had not moved upon your heart the things that I have for you. This is your day. This is your day. The people have come out of Egypt, come out of bondage, went through the Red Sea for 40 years. Red Sea, and went in bondage for 40 years in the wilderness. Now the place of promise and rest, a place to get rooted and a place of their own. A place to get rooted because they never had no place of their own. But God said, I got a promised land that's flowing with milk and honey. I got a promised land for you that I'm going to bless you more than you ever thought that you would. But however, it's not going to be a walk in the park, you see. It's not going to be a walk in the park. He says, I've given you this and go possess it. In any time, when we go possess something, we have to do something. See, so many of us want to sit back on our lazy boys. Poof me, Lord. He says, I got a promised land for you. Well, bring it here, Lord. Give it to me, Lord. Praise the Lord. But he says, you have to possess it. In order for me to get to what God has for me, I got to leave from where I'm at. You hear what I'm saying? In order to get what God has for me, I have to get up and leave from where I'm at and pursue. and to possess what God has for me. And God has so much for us, church. He has so much for you that your eyes not seen, your ears not heard, has not moved upon your heart the things that God has for you. Now I'm going to say this here in closing. If you're sitting here this morning and anything that was said to you here this morning ministered to your spirit, if you're sitting here this morning and you have any doubt, about your eternal life, because we all going to have eternal life, whether you believe in Jesus or not. Every one of us have an eternal life, whether you believe in Jesus or not. But the place that he has prepared for you is not for those who don't believe in him. So if you're sitting here today and you have any doubt about when you die and you leave here and when you stand before Jesus, he's going to say one or two things. Well done, enter into my faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. Well, I was in church. I heard the pastor speak. I knew it was something, you know, something stirring in me. It was something stirring in me as he was talking. But I discounted it. I didn't want to deal with it because I don't want people to see me. I didn't want people to know. It ain't about what we know. It's about what God knows. And he knows everything. He knows it all. And he knows today if you're going to respond. If you're going to respond to him asking you to come into the kingdom, or him asking you to come and get your life in the right order, right standing. Yielding your life to Jesus is not an event. It's a daily process of commitment and obedience. It's a daily process. Now, yes, you can come and get saved, but it's a daily process, not getting saved every day. But when you come down here and the Holy Spirit come within you and God put within you, that you walking that out every day. Those things, walking it out every day. The things that he has put in us. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're feeling a sense, I know he's talking to me. Or it's something within you that's saying, I need to get right with God. I need to get real with God today. If that's you, and you know who you are, and God knows who you are, I'm going to ask you to stand. Just stand. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen in the back there. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask all of y'all who are standing, I'm going to ask you a question. And you don't have to answer me verbally. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready to live your life the way God wants you to live it? Not the way you want to live it, but the way God wants you to live it. To have a thing, Lord, I only want what you want for me. That's all I want. I only want what you want for me, Lord. And if you answer that to God, not to me, he knows your heart. He knows your heart. So I'm going to ask all those who are standing, and I'm going to ask everybody who's seated, because there's more that's seated that need to be standing up also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Your seat was burning. Amen. I knew it. I can see the smoke. Praise the Lord. All right. Some of y'all are going to walk out of here with some singes. Now, before I go to the next step, are you sure? Those of you who are sitting down and know that you should be standing, are you sure? Are you ready to meet Jesus? Because you can walk out this door right here and get hit by a car, get shot, have a heart attack, and this will be your last day on earth. Are you ready to stand before him now and say, I'm ready. I'm ready to meet you, Jesus. I'm ready to meet you, Jesus. So if you're ready to meet Jesus today, praise the Lord. I'm going to ask all of those of you who are standing, I want y'all to come on down. Let's come on down. Don't be ashamed. Because he wasn't ashamed of you. You stay right where you are. Stay up right where you are. No, no, no. Stay where you are. Just stay where you are. God knows where you are. He knows where you are when you're standing. Amen. Amen. What's your name, young man?
Andrew.
Andrew. Good name. Good name. Amen. You know, that was one of the disciples, one of the apostles, Andrew. Yeah. You know that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Amen. Now, I want to say this here. Once again, young lady, I'm so thankful that you're here. And you have no idea what God has for you. No idea. But he got something real, 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 real good for you. Real good. Something that you have never seen, heard, or your heart has not even been able to establish. Okay? And I want all of you that's here, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And for those of you who are sitting out here and you know that you should be down here, pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer with us and come to me afterwards and say, Pastor, I prayed the prayer. I just couldn't come down because God will meet you where you are. God will meet you where you are. I don't care what you could be in the alleyway. You could be in the bathroom, be in your bed, wherever. And if you're serious with him, he gets serious with you. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I confess that I am a sinner, that my life has not been right. But this day, Lord, I come to you by your Holy Spirit, asking you to forgive me of all my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, shed his blood for my sins. He rose again on that third day, and that he's seated in heaven next to our Heavenly Father. This day, I accept this free gift of salvation by faith. And for those of you who have already committed your life to Christ, Lord, I rededicate my life to you, Lord, and ask you to take control of it. And the church says, amen, amen, amen. Do you have a Bible?
I do.
You do? Do you have a Bible? You do? I know you got one. Everybody got a Bible? Carmen, I know you got one. You got a Bible, young man? All right, good. Read it. You got a Bible? Read it. All right? Start in the book of John. Start in the book of John. But anyway, God bless you all. And let me tell you something. We're having a baptism. Have you been baptized? When?
2 years ago.
2 years ago? Okay, praise the Lord. That'll work. You been baptized?
Huh? I'll be here for that.
Okay.
I'm just here to get back on track.
All right, good, good. Have you been baptized?
Yeah,
okay. Carmen, I know you've been baptized, haven't you? You've been baptized?
Since I was a baby.
Oh, no, we got to do you again. That baby stuff don't count. All right. Now, do you want to do it in the river or you want to do it here?
Wherever.
Wherever? We can go to the river. You got some shorts and some flip-flops? Not on. We ain't going to do it today. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I just want to say all of y'all and those of you out here, you know, God is good, isn't he? He's good. Did everybody understand about God has a way that we have never gone before? A way of righteousness, a way of holiness, a way of loving one another, forgiving one another, being there for one another, not backbiting, not gossiping, not talking behind people's back, but a new way of life. A new way of serving God. A new way of loving your brother and your sister. So this is a new day. And I believe that we will see so much more fruit. So much more fruit in the days and the weeks to come. So I want to thank all of you for being here this morning. You know, I really want to thank, I want to thank all of you for not being ashamed and coming up here, getting back on track. That's an admirable thing, young man. Is it good? Because, you know, we all get off track from time to time. You know, we all get in ruts from time to time. But, you know, we all need to get back in. Right, Carmen? We all need to get right back in. Ain't that right, George?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. All right, Russell? Roscoe? Yeah.
Roscoe.
Praise the Lord. All right, y'all go sit down now. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I want to thank everybody that that came out yesterday for the prayer for the Ukrainians. We had a flag. They raised the flag at the city county building yesterday at noon, and we had a nice crowd out there to do that. So that was wonderful. That was wonderful that we did that. Also, let's not forget the 40 days of a prayer for our unborn babies over on Stone Street, 6 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you're supposed to sign up, but, you know, a lot of people didn't sign up. But just, you know, you don't have to sign up. Just go. Just go and stand across the street from that slaughterhouse over there and pray for the unborn. No confrontations, no hollering out, none of that. Just stand and pray. And if you can, and if you can't stay for, you know, a long time, just go over there for 15, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever. Go on your lunch hour. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just, you know, let them see that we care for the unborn. Let them know that we're standing in a gap for the unborn babies. They don't have a voice for themselves. So, you know, once today is a beautiful day. What is it, 80 degrees out now? Probably feel like it after all this cold weather we done had. But I want to thank all of y'all for coming. Once again, let's not forget about what we're going on this week. Tomorrow night, Rose of Sharon. And what that is for women only. For women who are going through hurts and things in their life. You've been battered, abused, or just whatever. You know, we have a meeting for the women for that. Tuesday night, a prayer meeting. Wednesday night, Bible study. Friday morning, we have another women's Bible study. Friday morning at 11 o'clock. We got a lot, 10:30. 10:30, not 11 o'clock, 10:30. Got a lot of stuff going on at the church, so praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for all the gifts and things that you, and cards and things that you've given me and my prayers and things. I appreciate you. I love you all. Father, we come before you today, giving you honor, glory, and praise. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being God and God alone. We thank you, Father God, for those who came forward here today and those who did not come forward. Lord, move upon their hearts. Let them know that they're loved. Let them know that they're valued. Let them know that you have a purpose for their life and the giftings and talents, oh, Father God. We ask that you stir them up, that we all will start using those giftings and talents in which you've given us. Lord, travel in mercy for us going home tonight. And I pray, Father God, as we go through our days and nights, oh, Father, let us always keep our minds stayed on you. Because we need that peace, that perfect peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you.